Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Leviticus, and this is chapter 16. Father, let's all ask the Lord to anoint chapter 16, which is concerning the first part of it, the Day of Atonement, which is the day that the Lord has atoned for our sins, and we're to remember the pit that we were dug out of, and remember the day of salvation. Father, we ask that you quicken these words into our spirit and that you memorialize them into our spirit, that we remember from whence we came, how you delivered us out of Egypt, out of sin, lives of sin, in bondage to the devil by shedding your blood for us and giving us an opportunity to be for all of our former sins to be washed away and for your spirit to dwell in us to give us the power to be able to keep your commandments. Because certainly, Lord, we are all dead and dead people with dead people or dead trees or dead anything. It's impossible for them to do anything without you having a day of atonement for us and without you living in us. We must give up our worthless life. In other words, it is symbolic of being dead, our old life, so that we can be alive in you. Lord, let there be whatever lesson it is that you want us to learn in this chapter 16 of Leviticus. Lord, let it never forget it. Let it be written into our hearts and spirits and minds and souls. But also, Lord, that we also remember that we have to continue reading it from time to time whenever your Spirit leads us to, so that we know from your Word that we're that the reproof of your Word is the way to life, the way of salvation, the way to power, to strength, to keep us standing one day at a time, one day at a time. For this is the way that you told us to stand. We need to receive your nourishment from your Spirit, your power, your Word every day. Lord, give us this anointing and all your blessings. And Lord, to remember that we are to pray always, because the days are wicked. They're very evil that we're living in. And Satan is not just standing by letting us do these things to expose your Word. He is doing everything in his treachery to try to stop us, to discourage us from going on, to discourage us from reading the Word. But we know that there's one storm after the other that comes at us. But that by the power that we receive from your Word, we are able to stand another day at a time. So we must never neglect the reading of your Word and the study of your Word, and to meditate on you who are the Word both day and night. Lord, do this for us, and let us always remember that we must take time from in every day to spend time with you in communication and prayer, to receive heaven's blessings from you daily. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, go ahead.
Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died.
They offered different kind of fire from the Lord and died. Then what else?
Verse 2. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not.
He's not to go in there whenever he pleases. In other words, there's special times for him to go in. Then what?
For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Verse 3. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place, with a young bullock for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. Verse 4. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Verse 5. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house.
And make forgiveness for himself by offering an animal for the forgiveness of his sins, so that he can also seek the forgiveness for all the other people's sins in the congregation, for the Day of Atonement, the blood that taketh away the sins of the world, which this was only symbolic of it, though, of the blood of Jesus. Then what?
Verse 7. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Because goats are symbolic of sin. And they have to be, we're all sinners, and we're saved because Jesus became the goat instead of us. And the Lord takes away the sins of all of us goats so that we can become lambs, sheep, converted, a new breed of people, a nation of priests and kings, so that we can become like him, that we can become the sons of God. What manner of love the Father has for us that we should be able to call ourselves, because he calls us the sons of God. The Spirit of God enters into us. The words just come out. The Spirit says unto the Father, Father. That's the Spirit of Jesus in us that's saying, Abba, Father. Then what?
Verse 8. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat.
Right. So we're the scapegoat. One is for the Lord, who's going to sacrifice himself for us. And then go ahead.
Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. Verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness.
This is symbolic of us. The first one is the Lord, symbolic of the Lord who's going to die for us so that we can go free. But not free without work to do. The Lord calls us, as he did the children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of sin, but he called us into the people of Israel, into the service of the Lord, to do the works. And these are all the things that he's telling them to do. Some of them have to fight the good fight of faith. They have to carry all the different things. They have to build the tabernacle. We're called out of the world to do a work for the Lord. And these people that say that, oh, Jesus did everything and we don't have to do anything. He did everything so far as our salvation is concerned. He did everything so far as the salvation of the Jews were concerned. They didn't do anything to free themselves. The Lord turned Egypt upside down and delivered them into his, away from Egypt, out of sin, to do a work for him. And that's what he did for us, is he saved our souls. He washed us in the blood from all of our former sins. And he called us into the service of the Lord. He said, put my yoke upon you. In other words, put my work upon you. He says, now come and follow me. He says, because my work, my yoke, is easy and light. So you haven't been called just to sit around and laugh and joke and to do nothing or to pay no mind to the Lord at all. You've been called. It's a very serious thing. By the Day of Atonement, you've been washed, you've been cleansed, and now you're delivered from the devil, and now to do a work for the Lord. Okay, then what else?
Verse 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house.
See, this is, Aaron was one of the ones that was delivered from Egypt, and here he is doing these, Aaron shall do this kind of work. He's going to take a bullock in there and cut his neck off and do all this sprinkling and all this other things, wash them and burn them and so on and so forth. Amen?
Amen.
He's doing the work of a priest, and the Lord has called us to be a nation of priests. Not to do this sort of thing, but to win souls and to nourish them with the Word of God. All right, then what?
And shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself.
So he has to kill this bullock. Then what?
Verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire.
So that's work. He has to take a censer full of burning coals, right?
Yes.
Then what?
A fire from off the altar before the Lord.
So the fire has to be taken off the altar for the Lord?
Before the Lord.
Before the Lord. Then what?
And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil.
So he has to take a handful of incense and bring it where?
Within the veil.
Within the veil. The veil of the temple there. Then what else?
Verse 13.
That's work. Okay? It's light work, but it's work. Works that he has to do, and if he doesn't do it, he gets killed. So do you, if you don't do the works of the Lord. And you go to hell, it's you and I both. Okay, then what else?
Verse 13, and he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord.
That's work, doing it before the fire. Paul said, woe be unto me if I don't continue on working for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so will you. Woe be unto you as well. Then what else?
And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
See, the Lord doesn't kill him. In other words, there has to be so much incense there that it covers what?
The mercy seat that is upon the testimony.
Right. So he can't just put a little dab on there and just a little stream. It has to cover the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, translation here.
Translation verse 1 through 13. The Day of Atonement. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons, who died when they burned different kind of fire than the Lord had commanded. Verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, quote, warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses.
Yeah, that's the most holy place, so he just can't go in there anytime he wants. Then what?
The penalty for intrusion is death.
So, you know, you got to do the work the right way. Some people think, well, I'll just serve the Lord, you know, the way I feel. No, it isn't a life of feelings or, you know, different sensations and things. It's like a life of obedience, whether you feel like doing it or not. The Lord didn't say you have to keep the commandments if you feel like it. He says you do it. Okay, then what else?
For the ark's cover, the place of atonement, is there, and I myself am present in the cloud over the atonement cover. Verse 3. When Aaron enters the sanctuary area, he must follow these instructions fully. He must first bring a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a whole burnt offering. Verse 4. Then he must wash his entire body.
See, this is work. You know, he's got to wash his whole body, and some people, you know, don't take a bath once every 3 months, whether they need it or not, right?
Right.
But this guy, he has to do all this stuff. Okay, that's work, the work of the Lord. Otherwise, he dies. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so where do you think you get off? That you're something special? That you're more than Aaron and Moses and all these people? No, no, no. Okay, then what?
Then he must wash his entire body and put on his linen tunic.
And then this is work, too. Wash his entire body and put on the tunic and put on the breeches. Okay? Can't put on a sweatshirt, right? It's a special made garment, and you better make sure that you do it the right one, okay? If he put on a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or some kind of a polo shirt or a button-down shirt, he wouldn't be around any longer than his two sons were. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else? Two of his four sons, rather. Okay, then what else?
And put on his linen tunic and the undergarments worn next to his body.
But Lord, can't it be made out of wool? No. Linen. Amen?
Amen.
Get that through your thick skulls right now, lest you die. Why does the Lord want linen? Because he wants it, okay? He's the Lord. They say, where does the gorilla sleep? The gorilla sleeps wherever he wants to. You want to try to stop him? Well, the Lord is even more, you know, that you don't dare offend him. When the Lord says something, it's for your own good. Amen?
Amen.
And you dastn't not do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
Because he'll level you. Okay, then what else? Right to the ground and in the ground. And what else?
He must tie the linen sash around his waist and put the
linen... Well, why not around his ankles? Because, Nimrod, the Lord said to tie it around his waist. Amen?
Amen.
Before he puts it around your neck and squeezes it. All right, then what else? This is the way the Lord is. You know, learn the true meaning of or the personality of the Lord. You don't do things the opposite of what he says. Amen? Unless you want to pay a terrible penalty. Death and hell in the lake of fire. Then what? Because you're desecrating that which he says is holy. And what he says is holy is holy. And if you say anything different, that's unholy. All right? Then what?
He must tie the linen sash around his waist and put the linen turban on his head. These are his
sacred... Can I put a baseball cap on my head? Will that do? Huh? Or an aviator's cap? No. If you do that, it's the same as putting a dunce cap on your head. And that way, you will definitely pay. Okay, what else? Or one of those mouse hats from the Mickey Mouse Club? It's a desecration. It's like the same thing as mocking the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
These are his sacred garments. Verse 5, the people of Israel must then bring him two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a whole burnt offering. Verse 6, Aaron will present the bull as a sin offering to make atonement for himself and his family.
See, this is work, amen?
Amen.
And the people better, you know, the people better do what he says too. They say to, when the Lord says that they have to bring a lamb, a ram, or a couple of turtle doves, or a couple of doves, whatever. Or pigeons. They have to do just exactly what he says. Otherwise, there's trouble. More trouble than you ever dreamed of. Then what else?
Verse 7. Then he must bring the two male goats and present them to the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle. Verse 8. He is to cast sacred lots to determine which goat will be sacrificed to the Lord.
See, all this, you got to do that, you know, take lots. What difference does it make? To the Lord, it makes a difference. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
He is to cast sacred lots to determine which goat will be sacrificed to the Lord and which one will be the scapegoat. Verse 9. The goat chosen to be sacrificed
to the Lord. So the Lord chose Jesus to be the one that sacrificed and us to be the ones that get set free if we believe in the Lord. But if we believing in the Lord means that we do what he says, how else is he to determine that we believe him unless he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he said, a person that says he loves me and keeps not my commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And of course, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but all liars shall spend eternity in the lake of fire, where all the whoremongers and the lesbians and the homosexuals and the fearful and unbelieving people will go. Well, you save God. Isn't that strict? Well, then why did he kill everybody in the world? Because some woman took a piece of fruit from off of a tree. And why did God have to come to this earth as a man and die for the sins of all the world because of what this woman did? She just took a piece of fruit off the tree. Well, is that so bad? Yes, it's real bad because it's such an easy thing for her not to have done. If it was something like he said, you have to stand on your head and count BBs or something like that, or turn the tide of the ocean, which would be impossible for anyone to do, then you could understand if she would have, you know, slipped and fell. But he told just don't eat from that tree. And it becomes, because it's so easy, it is worse, because it was an easy thing not to do. It's an easy thing to turn away temptation to have sex with somebody that you're not married to or that somebody else's wife. It's a simple, very easy thing to do to not be a lesbian, to just turn away from it. It's an easy thing to stop lying. You say, but it's so hard. No, if you had the fear of the Lord, it wouldn't be hard. If you knew you were going to go to hell instantly for saying something that was false, it wouldn't be hard. And if it was, then you deserve to go to hell because it's an easy thing to not lie. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, it's an easy thing to just, if he says to take a bullock, to take a bullock, not a, you know, a cow. Or if he says take a female cow and you bring a male, to take a cow that doesn't have a, that isn't blind or got a limping, you know, dragging his leg behind him or something, it has to be whole. Has to be healthy, has to be perfect, no blemishes on it whatsoever. That's easy. Okay? And so, if you say he tells you to wear linen, you wear linen. Because that's what he says. And it's simple to do, but people just have to try to be different. They think, this is old-fashioned, and this is the way it's... I'm tired of doing something the same way all the time. But the Lord doesn't change. He wants it the same way all the time, no matter how monotonous it seems to you. It's your very life. Your entire life going to the kingdom of heaven is contingent upon you doing things the way he says. Now, you don't like it? Well, murmur and complain about it, and he'll kill you. You will not go to heaven, because the Bible tells us that if we do these things willingly, then are we saved. But if you, even when you give a tithe to the Lord, it has to be a willingness. Because if you give it grudgingly, there's no reward for that, but ill reward. The pit of hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 9. The goat chosen to be sacrificed to the Lord will be presented by Aaron as a sin offering. Verse 10. The goat chosen to be the scapegoat will be presented to the Lord alive. When it is sent away into the wilderness, it will make an atonement for the people. Verse 11. Then Aaron will present the young bull as a sin offering for himself and his family. After he has slaughtered this bull for the sin offering, verse 12, he will fill an incense burner with burning coals from the altar that stands before the Lord.
So you can't strike a match or something? It has to come from the altar, the fire? Yes, the Lord killed two of Aaron's sons for taking it from somewhere else. Amen?
Yeah.
It has to. You can't take a book of matches, which they probably didn't have back then. You have to do it from the altar. Otherwise, you die. Well, that's so funny, you know, that you have to die. Well, dying isn't so bad, but dying and going to hell is horrible. It's never-ending torture. What else?
Then after filling both his hands with fragrant incense, he will carry the burner and incense behind the inner curtain.
So it all has to be done this way. That's the work of the Lord. So he's working. He's working himself and with fear and trembling that he does something wrong. Because he already did something wrong, and he's going to die before they go to the promised land. And so he knows what his fate is for building a calf and then lying about it, why he did it. He did. He said it came, a wind came and put it together, or some crazy thing. Okay, then what?
Verse 13. There in the Lord's presence he will put the incense on the burning coals, so that a cloud of incense will rise over the ark's cover, the place of atonement, that rests on the ark of the covenant. If he follows these instructions, he will not die.
But if he doesn't, he will die. He has to follow them in every detail. That's why the Bible keeps saying, and he did it exactly as Moses told him, and Moses was told the way to do it from the Lord, because they said that we don't want God to talk to us. We want him to talk to you, and then you come and tell us what he says. Okay, then go ahead.
Verse, King James Version, verse 14.
Okay, there was a man that said, I'm an atheist, I don't want God to, he kept convicting him of sins and everything, and he told God, he says, God, if you're there, he says, I don't want you to bother me, and I won't bother you. And ever since that day, he never felt any more conviction from the Lord. And he died screaming his head off. But there was no more conviction. You want God to not bother you anymore? And you don't want him to bother you? The Lord was obedient to that. He just took the spirit, his spirit away from him and never convicted him again the rest of his life. This is a very famous person, and I can't remember his name at all right now, but I'll search for it. He says, don't bother me and I won't bother you. And no more conviction. He just lived a life of peace until the moment he started dying, and then he started screaming his head off. When you ask the Lord to withdraw his spirit from you, you're over with. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times.
It's got to be eastward, not westward, southward, northward, Lord. Yeah, eastward. Okay, make sure. Everything the Lord says to do, that you have to do it. But we don't want to. Well, then you don't want to go to heaven either. That's where you want to go, is to hell. It's your own. You have the choice. If you believe this is the word of God, then you do it the way the Lord says. Of course, we don't have burnt offerings anymore. But there are many other details that we do. We have to be the burnt offering ourselves and have the Spirit of the Lord in us to go after the people of the world to get them to come to the Lord so that their souls can be saved. This is charity or love, that we love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, the word of God, Jesus, the word of God, shall be saved. And he said, will be saved for what? For what purpose? It's to do the work of the Lord. No, there's nothing we can do to be saved except come to the Lord and receive him and vow to him, make a vow that we're going to do what he says. And then after this, we have to be in the service of the Lord. All right, then what? That means to bear fruit, go win souls, and to nurture these souls until they grow up into the fullness of the stature of maturity in the Lord. Then what?
Verse 15. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat.
Now, you might just read through this and just think it's nothing, but this goes to show how detailed the Lord is in the way that he wanted his work to be done in the Old Testament. And when you read the New Testament, you'll see how detailed it is there that we do what he says. There's many things he says, that children have to obey their parents, and that everyone has to obey those that have the rule over them, because God has called rulers to rule over each church. And you have to obey them. And if you don't, well, then it's the same thing as you're not obeying Moses. And if you didn't obey him, you'd die. And people wonder why they're so diseased and all the plagues are happening on the earth. It's just because they set at naught or nothing. They say the word of God is nothing. You don't have to observe it anymore. We'll just live the way we want to. And therefore, they're dying in their sins and going to hell. And the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel.
Right, and the uncleanness of the church today is astronomical. It's unbelievable. There's a great falling away. The holy temple of God, which we are, many of the people of the Lord, now have become an unholy sanctuary for Satan to live in. God has lifted his spirit from them, and they become members of the Antichrist, members of the body of Satan. And they're doing the things that Satan wants them to do. And they know that they're lost. Satan knows his time is short. And he's full of rage, and so are these people. They want to do everything to silence the Word of God. They hate the Word of God. The Vatican and Islam are one and the same, the Pope says. So it's definitely, I attribute that Islam is the one that they say, that the president says, that destroyed the World Trade Center. And so it was definitely under the instructions of the Pope, the Vatican. And President Bush says that he's one with them too. So maybe this explains why Bush wasn't present when this happened, and the Air Force was ordered not to take off, and why the planes were so available for these people to get into, these Islamic people under the direction of the Pope. What think ye? It all makes sense. 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 and 4 is 8 still. Amen? Mm-hmm. After all these years, it's still the same. Can't you put it together? It's no puzzle to me. It's no mystery to me, because I know the Word of God that says that the Vatican is the mother of every abomination, the mother of harlots, and that Islam is an organization, a religion that Satan, through the Vatican, raised up to smokescreen the evil things that the Vatican is doing. In other words, Islam is now the Pope's soldiers. Not only them, but whoever the Pope wants. He's like over Russia, China, and so the news media that is run by the Vatican is saying, you know, Russia's going to get us. So they frighten everybody to listen to what the Vatican's news media is saying, so they just glue themselves there for fear that they're going to miss a possible air raid that's coming from Russia or China. But if it is going to come, it's coming under the directions of the Pope. Amen? Yeah. That's what the Bible says. And so, of course, you don't know that, and this all sounds like heresy to you, because you don't know the Bible. But if God says it, you better believe it, and that should settle it for you. And I'm telling you what the Bible says. And I'm telling you what the Pope himself said. He said, we and Islam are one and the same. As a matter of fact, we have pictures of the Pope kissing Islam's Bible, the Quran, which, incidentally, they say that they want to kill every white person and every Jew, because the Jews and Christians are mutual enemies of the Vatican and Islam. So, you know, really, it's much easier to watch your back if you know who you have to worry about stabbing it. So it's really, God said, it's the Pope and all of the different armies that he's raised up. He uses one at one time and one at the other time. But God drove the giants out of the land of Canaan with a bunch of hornets. So God can use, he has all sorts of armies, locusts, floods, famines, hornets, and anything that plagues of every kind, pestilence of every kind. So if you've got some kind of disease, or maybe your loved one does, what you need to do is get right with the Lord so the Lord will heal them, because the Lord promises healing if you're right with him. But if you keep doing things your own way, there's no salvation for you or any healing or anything. You're just under the curses of the Lord. And we've seen one of the enemies of God after the other. People that have attacked us in government, they're dead. The judges, all kinds of judges that have said, done things to us, and prosecuting attorneys, they're dead now. Just like the judge that officiated over the Department of Labor case in Little Rock, Arkansas, right after Susie died, and he was trying to pull, he sent U.S. Marshals over to pull Susie in a coma out of her death room. The next day she died. Finally, the doctor convinced him not to do it that day, and this man died of cancer just a few short months after this. And another man ran the motel out in Elma, Arkansas, was passing out false derogatory literature on Sue and myself in the church. And Sue had cancer, and I have real bad eyes, and so he gave that man cancer of the eyes, and he dropped dead. And I could go on for hours, but this is, you know, chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus, and so we'll just continue on with that. But I mean, literally hundreds of people, and possibly thousands, have dropped dead because they're attacking the house of God. And the house of God is not these false prophets that you see on television that are telling you it's all right to have fun, and God is not going to punish people for sin. And now, this is all part of the Vatican movement. These people are actual Roman Catholics posing as Christians. And they're doing a fine job for Satan. It's just too bad that people are so ignorant because they haven't read the Bible. Study the Bible yourself and see if what I'm saying is the truth or if what they're saying is the truth. You'll find that I'm telling you the truth. Okay, go ahead.
And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness.
Okay, and so the Lord is our to the tabernacle of the congregation, and we are the tabernacle of the Lord. He lives in us, and if we keep everything that he says, all the commandments that he says, but he'll depart from us and let the devil enter into you, 7 extra ones, more wicked than the one that was originally cast out of you, so that there'll be no possibility of salvation. People say, oh, God will not send your soul to hell. Just as he told Eve, thou shalt not go to hell, thou shalt not die, you're not going to hell. He's saying the same thing today. You're not going to go to hell because you're a lesbian or because you make a few transgressions like that. How many times did Eve have to take a piece of fruit off the tree? Once. And all of us have to die because of it. Disobedience is the same as witchcraft, and the Lord is not going to suffer a witch to live, not in the kingdom of heaven. They'll, if you want to call it living, suffer forever in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 17. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out.
See, these are rules and regulations. Okay, then what else?
Until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for the household, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. Verse 18. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock, and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar.
See, this is all work, and it's like tedious. You have to pay attention to what he's saying, because it's got to be done exactly the way he says, or he drops dead. There's sin on his soul, and here he is in the holy place, and you can't be in the holy place with sin on your soul. That's why they had to tie a rope on their leg, with bells on it, so that in the event that the bells stopped tinkling, they couldn't go in to get him. He'd just die and rot in there, so they had a rope around his leg, so that if he died, if there was sin on his soul, they'd drag him out of the most holy place. That's what the Bible says. All right, then what else?
And put it upon the horns of the altar round about. Verse 19, and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger 7 times, and cleanse it.
Can't be 6 times, Lord, or 8 times, no, 7. You better make sure that you don't let something else cross your mind while you're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's it. Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Verse 20. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat.
Okay, it's time to let the person free. Amen?
Amen.
All right, the whole congregation goes free because all the sins were on the goat that gets burnt, which is symbolic of Jesus. Okay, now into some translations here. Okay, then.
Verse 14 through 20. Then he must dip his finger into the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover, and then 7 times against the front of the ark. Verse 15. Then Aaron must slaughter the goat as a sin offering for the people, and bring its blood behind the inner curtain. There he must sprinkle the blood on the atonement cover, and against the front of the ark, just as he did with the bull's blood. Verse 16. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place, and he will do the same for the entire tabernacle.
I said, because this is the Day of Atonement, and this is what it's all about in the Old Testament. Okay, then what?
He will do the same for the entire tabernacle because of the defiling sin and rebellion of the Israelites. Verse 17. No one else is allowed inside the tabernacle while Aaron goes in to make atonement for the most holy place. No one may enter until he comes out again, after making atonement for himself, his family, and all the Israelites. Verse 18. Then Aaron will go out to make atonement for the altar that stands before the Lord, by smearing some of the blood from the bull, and the goat on each of the altar's horns. Verse 19. Then he must dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle it 7 times over the altar. In this way he will cleanse it from Israel's defilement and return it to its former holiness. Verse 20. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tabernacle and the altar, he must bring the living goat forward.
Okay, so a lot of people that wouldn't pay any attention to these words, that Satan comes always, he's bombarding your mind, take your mind off of what you're supposed to be hearing. Well, and you'd miss just one of these strokes here. You'd be dead. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what Satan, whether the word of God is being read to you, he will do everything in his mind. He makes your mind an airport. These thoughts come, they land on you in your mind, and then they take off, and then 2 or 3 more like airplanes come in and land in your mind and then take off, and all these different thoughts that Satan wants to, or a song, a portion of a song, or some joke you heard, or some motion picture, or part of a motion picture that you've seen starts going through your mind, or something somebody said, or some other scripture that you're trying to remember, or but you're not paying attention to what the Lord is saying at the moment, and that's where you might forget some of these things to do, where Aaron could have forgot. You say, well, I wonder if we're having what we're having for supper tonight, or something like that. Or I wonder what's for breakfast or lunch. Amen?
Amen.
Or where should we go for lunch? Should we go Chinese or Japanese or Italian? Should we eat Italian tonight, or so on and so forth? Oh, or how about just a good old-fashioned country lunch instead of listening to these scriptures that are your very life? Macaroni and cheese and some hot dogs, or what? Burgers? A little salad or something? Where should we get them? Should we go? Just anything to distract your mind on something that is not of any import at all. All right, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness.
Okay, then what?
Verse 22. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness.
Okay, now translation.
Verse 21 and 22. He is to lay both of his hands on the goat's head, and confess over it all the sins and the rebellion of the Israelites. In this way he will lay the people's sins on the head of the goat. Then he will send it out into the wilderness, led by a man chosen for this task.
Honest confession is good for the soul. It's very good. You have to confess your sins before you can be saved. If you try to conceal them, well, that's not good. It won't work that way. It has to be identical the way the Lord said. Salvation, or the Day of Atonement, must be exactly like the Lord said. If you confess your sins, and you'll confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your only personal Savior, then, and you vow to do His will rather than yours or anybody else's will, then thou shalt be saved. And first of all, in order to know what to do, you have to read the Bible. Amen? The Word of God, the instruction book. And so you all look just to see, look disappointed that you have to do these things. Well, you know, these false prophets told you that Jesus will do it all. He saved your soul, and now He's going to do all the work. That's why the whole world is overrun with sin now and lawlessness. It's because there's nobody really doing His work except a handful of people. And what are we against so many? But if God be with us, then who could be against us? But you people that don't take these things to heart, you're the ones in trouble, not us. Because even if I die for exposing Satan as I do, I'm still saved. I'm going to heaven. I'll be there in a flash of a second. Okay, then what?
Verse 22. After the man sets it free in the wilderness, the goat will carry all the people's sins upon himself into a desolate land. King James Version, verse 23. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. Verse 24. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering, and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. Verse 25. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. Verse 26. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. Verse 27. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp. And they shall burn in the fire their skins, and their flesh, and their dung. Verse 28. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. Verse 29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Translation, verse 23 through 30. As Aaron enters the tabernacle, he must take off the linen garments he wore when he entered the most holy place, and he must leave the garments there. Verse 24. Then he must bathe his entire body with water in a sacred place, and put on his garments, and go out to sacrifice his own whole burnt offering, and the whole burnt offering for the people.
See, this is all work, amen?
Amen.
Work of the Lord, service of the Lord. Then what else?
In this way he will make atonement for himself and for the people.
And this work was done after he was delivered. They were all delivered. They're delivered for a purpose, for God's purpose to do the service of the Lord. Okay? Not to do your own thing. Okay? Whoever's telling you that is a liar. If you read the Bible, then what else?
Verse 25. He must also burn all the fat of the sin offering on the altar. Verse 26. The man chosen to send the goat out into the wilderness as a scapegoat must wash his clothes and bathe in water.
That's work. You have to do it. Okay, then what else? Or else you're going to die because you defiled the work of the Lord. Then what else?
Then he may return to the camp.
Yes, if he didn't do it in a sinful way. Or if he did it murmuring and complaining, then what else?
Verse 27. The bull and goat given as sin offerings, whose blood Aaron brought into the most holy place to make atonement for Israel, will be carried outside the camp to be burned. This includes the animals' hides, the internal organs, and the dung. Verse 28. The man who does the burning must wash his clothes and bathe himself in water before returning to the camp.
That's work. It's all the work of the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 29. On the appointed day in early autumn, you must spend the day fasting and not do any work.
You mean not eat any food, Lord? Well, can't we even have a little bit of tea and crumpets? Or, some little can of deviled ham or whatever? No, that would be eating with the devil, right?
Right.
Okay, then what else?
This is a permanent law for you.
Permanent, okay. Then what else?
And it applies to those who are Israelites by birth, as well as to the foreigners living among you.
So any foreigners that's living in Israel outside of Israel there at that time, or that travels with the Jews, you got to do it too. All right, or you die also. Then what else?
Verse 30. On this day atonement will be made for you, and you will be cleansed from all your sins in the Lord's presence.
Well, why is it important to be cleansed of our sins? Because if you're not, you're going to go to hell and the lake of fire. Well, you don't believe that? Well, then you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you can't be saved. Those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt, Jesus said, shall be damned. So you're damned, and you like it, huh? All right, then what else?
King James Version, verse 31. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Verse 32. And the priest whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office, in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. Verse 33.
All this would be very hard if the Spirit of the Lord is not joining in you. The whole work of the Lord, it's impossible to do unless the Lord is living in you. So you're always going to be a mess up if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in you. So the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his saints. So you start praising. You got to start somewhere. If you don't feel the presence of the Lord, it's because you're doing something where you're not really paying attention to what he says. And it's like as though you think that it's just for somebody else and not you. If it's all of us, you know, Jesus, does he bear the cross alone? No. There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for you and for me. All right? Then what?
Verse 33. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the congregation.
Everybody has to be atoned. Everybody has to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And everybody has to acknowledge Jesus as the one and only Savior. No religion can get you into the kingdom of heaven. Only Jesus. Jesus said anyone that tries to enter any other way than him is a thief and a robber. And no thief and robber shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then what?
Verse 34. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, for all their sins, once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses.
And today it's spiritual Israel, the New Jerusalem. It's the born-again Christians today. Those are the real Israel. And so pay attention, everyone, that we have to do. Back then, that's what we had to do. And nowadays, there's a lot more to do. Okay, except we don't do those burnt offerings any longer, because Jesus is our burnt offering, and we have become burnt offerings for him, so that he can live in us, so that the work of God can be done. If we're not willing to, you know, surrender our entire life over to him, we can't do a work for the Lord. He just won't live in you. And he won't work in you. He can't work in you. It's just so simple. Okay, then what?
Translation, verse 31 through 34. It will be a Sabbath day of total rest, and you will spend the day in fasting. This is a permanent law for you. Verse 32. In future generations, the atonement ceremony will be performed by the anointed high priest, who serves in place of his ancestor Aaron. He will put on the holy linen garments, verse 33, and make atonement for the most holy place, the tabernacle, the altar, the priests, and the entire community. Verse 34. This is a permanent law for you, to make atonement for the Israelites once each year. Unquote. Moses followed all these instructions that the Lord had given to him.
And why did Moses follow all these instructions that the Lord had given to him? Because he didn't want to go to hell. I don't understand why anybody would. It's only because they don't realize the severity of the Lord's commandments. Okay, now we've got some commentary.
16, verse 1 through 34.
Okay.
The primary purposes of this chapter are to instruct the priests in the proper way to atone for the people's sins, to purify them. Purification means the Day of Atonement, so that people can have confidence that their sins are forgiven for that year for the past sins that they committed. This chapter shows how Aaron must approach God, and if he doesn't do it the right way, then he will die, verse 2. And how to cleanse the tabernacle to make possible God's continued presence. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest wore special, less elaborate clothing, verse 4. See also Exodus chapter 28. This emphasizes his role as God's servant, stripped of all natural honor in God's presence. The atoning ceremony itself consisted of four main elements: the sin offering for the priest's purification, for the forgiveness of their sins, verse 6, the casting of lots to determine which one of the goats was to be sacrificed as a sin offering for the people, verses 7 and 8. The sacrificing of the goat, verse 9, and the dispatching of a second goat, the scapegoat, into the wilderness, verse 10, verses 11 through 22, and describe these elements in detail. 16, verse 8. The scapegoat was perhaps the most striking feature of the ceremony, symbolizing sending the nation's sins away from them, verses 21 through 22. This was the one facet observed by all the nation. This entire ceremony prefigured Christ's crucifixion, and many of his elements are discussed in Hebrews. See especially Hebrews chapter 9. The joyous New Testament news, however, is that whereas the Old Testament ceremony was inadequate and temporary, having to be repeated annually, and then only partially dealing with the people's sin problem, our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion was once and for all, completely dealing with the sin and purification issues before God. This means also that his Spirit dwells in us and that we don't have to sin anymore. And if we are obedient to him, then this is a once and for all thing. Christ is not going to come back and die for any of us again. 16 verse 23 through 28. These verses deal with the necessary washing.
You can tell in the book of Romans chapter 1 where it says, these people knew the Lord and they tasted the good spirit and the power of God and all that. And then they became wise in their own eyes and they became like natural brute beasts and they were not saved anymore. Amen?
Amen.
And so this the Word of God does away completely with the false doctrine of Baptists that say once saved, always saved. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. That makes you a person believe that they can sin, and no sin shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, then go ahead.
These verses deal with the necessary washings of purification before returning to routine daily life. Purification meaning forgiveness. 16 verse 29. The seventh month was approximately October. It's in the fall.
Yeah, September, October period of time. Then what else?
16 verse 30. You may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. The Day of Atonement became the most sacred day on the calendar of Israel. The people recognized their sins, confessed them before the Lord in fasting, in repentance, and in self-examination. The Jewish sages taught that each person must first forgive his or her neighbor before requesting forgiveness from the Lord. See Leviticus 19:18. 16 verse 17. Here's some wealthiness of word regarding assembly. The Jewish word kahal, pronounced K-A-H-H-A-L, Strong's number 6951, means a congregation, assembly, a company, a people. So when we have an assembly of people or a place to assemble, or a place to congregate, or a place to company, that is not the church. We're the church, a multitude that has been, quote, called together, unquote. The verb kahal, which means to, quote, call together, to assemble together, to gather together, to convoke, unquote. Kahal is used in reference to the whole congregation of Israel, nearly 30 times in Exodus through Deuteronomy. While the people comprised an actual family or nation, they still also were a spiritual congregation of people, a spiritual congregation. The New Testament word ecclesia means a congregation, quote, called together, unquote, which parallels kahal. Ecclesia is translated as, quote, church, unquote, but, quote, assembly, unquote, or, quote, congregation, unquote, is more accurate. Thus, God's dealing with the kahal in the Old Testament prefigures his dealings with his assemblies in the New Testament. Thus, the earliest pattern of congregational life is the, quote, church, unquote, in the wilderness. Regarding scapegoats, Bible readings, Leviticus 16:20 through 22. Actually, we are scapegoats. We're made the scourge of the earth. People like to make scapegoats out of us, but if we made lists of all persons, people that we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all, it's natural for us to hope that the people we have offended or have hurt in some way will think better of us once we have sought to make amends with them, to seek forgiveness. We might actually fear that there are some who will never, no matter what we do, upgrade their opinions about us, no matter what. It doesn't matter what we do. In reality, they may not ever forgive us, especially if they have chosen to use us as scapegoats. In other words, quote, Lord, they've done wrong to me, and so therefore they're sinners, and my sins be upon them, unquote. Before the coming of Jesus, the people of Israel were instructed to select a live goat that would carry away their sins. Jesus became our scapegoat when he took our sins upon himself. The priest was to place his hands on the goat and confess over it all the sins of the people. Quote, he is to lay both of his hands on the goat's head and confess over it all their sins and rebellion of the Israelites. In this way, he will lay the people's sins on the head of the goat. Then he will send it out into the wilderness, led by a man chosen for this task. After the man sets it free in the wilderness, the goat will carry all the people's sins upon himself into a desolate land, unquote. Leviticus 16:21-22. Some of the people we have hurt will use us as their scapegoats. Since we have hurt them, they feel justified in sending us away with more than our share of the burden. They unconsciously place the blame for their pain on us, so we can carry it away.
Right, instead of forgiving 70 times 7. But if we can't, they can't forgive us if we sin, though. Because only God can forgive sins. So don't expect people to, or pastors or anyone, to forgive your sins, but the Lord. Faults, yes. You know. And if we've hurt somebody unconsciously, we can go to them and ask for forgiveness. And if they want to make a scapegoat out of us, they can. But that's on them, because then they're sinning because they're not forgiving us our the offenses that we've done 70 times 7. All right, then what?
As their scapegoats, we play the role of removing something they were unable to deal with in any other way. Because of this...
It's like a psychological thing with them. Rather than obeying the Word of God, they go into psychology. Just to dupe themselves into a state of, you know, spiritual unconsciousness. Then what else?
Because of this, they may never welcome us back. We should be prepared for this kind of response and realize that their behavior says more about them than it says about us. You can turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which tells about that.
Amen. Now, listen, this was Leviticus chapter 16, and Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 17 this evening. Until then, there are lessons in this chapter. Amen?
Amen.
And think about them and apply them to your daily living. And it's like thinking about them is like meditating upon the Lord both day and night. Until then, God bless you and praise the Lord.